Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Selenium Progillo Full Year 2019 Financial Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Pietro Salini, Chief Executive Officer of Selenium Progillo. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our conference call dedicated to Selenium Progillo's 2019 full year results. I'm the Chief Executive of the group, and I will give you a few words about our performance last year, as well as our plans for the future before letting Massimo Ferrari, CFO of the group, to go through into further details. 2019 was a busy year for us. It marked the start of our company's transformation to grow in a more sustainable way. We launched Progetto Italia, a plan to consolidate the construction sector in Italy at a time when many companies have fallen on harder times. We have acquired several of them, including Cossi Costruzioni. Our aim is to create a group with the scale, resources, and expertise to do two things: help revive infrastructure development in Italy and compete abroad from a position of a greater strength. Among the companies in difficulties is Astaldi. As the second biggest construction company in Italy after Selenium Progillo, it is the one that will make the biggest contribution to our plan to create a larger group with the best of the Italian engineering. We are still in the process of acquiring it. Although there are still in the final votes from creditors that must be held in the 26th of March, we are confident the acquisition will proceed as planned. This complex operation has already seen us gain the backing of Italy's biggest bank, as well as Cassa Depositi e Prestiti, the state investment fund. We have conducted a capital increase of 600 million euros, invited new shareholders into our capital base, changed our governance, altered the composition of our board, and chosen a new name for the new group. The name will be Webuild. All of these had obviously not distracted us from the incredible work that we did last year. We completed on time Sydringen. The metro line will make a big contribution to Copenhagen's ambition to become the first carbon neutral capital in the world. In Australia, we won the contract to build Snowy 2.0, the biggest hydroelectric project in the country's history, as it seeks to produce more renewable energy. In Texas, we are in the early stages of the civil works for the first true high-speed railway in the United States. The train service between Dallas and Texas will not make travel between two cities easier and faster, but also help reduce CO2 emissions. Moving to the next slide, we have nearly 8 billion euros worth of new orders, a record. The countries where these orders came from show how we are succeeding in our strategy to focus on markets with low risk profiles. These countries include Australia, Europe, and the United States. They have come to represent more than 80% of the value of our orders backlog. We are working towards a number of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Projects that support these goals have come to represent more than 85% of our revenues from contracts with customers and backlog orders. As we have worked to deliver our projects, we managed to reduce by an estimated 25% our own CO2 emissions compared with 2018. In acknowledgment of our dedication to sustainable development, our group rating rose from B to A- in 2019 Carbon Disclosure Project. It puts us amongst the leaders in the corporate world in the fight against climate change. Meanwhile, on the financial side, revenues and margin were in line with our expectation. We improved the operating free cash flow by more than 300 million compared to previous year, and we reduced our gross and net debt. Let us now move to slide five to look at our new orders in detail. As I said earlier, we received more than 8 billion euros worth of new orders. That's a true record. The amount SOAS achieved a book-to-bill of 1.66 times, and more than 90% of the orders are related to projects that contribute to the so-called ESG goals. The order reflects our de-risking strategy. More than 6 billion euros, or 75% of the total value of the orders, are located in countries with low risk profiles. In addition to the countries that I already mentioned to you, like Australia, there are those that are new to us. We entered Norway for the first time with the signing of a contract to build a section of the railway south of Oslo. We also returned to Canada after 3 decades of absence to win the Euro-Ontario light train contract just outside of Toronto. It is the first time that we win a contract with Vastaldi since announcing Progetto Italia. In the United States, our single biggest market by revenue, we signed an agreement to join the mega project to build an high-speed rail train in Texas, from Dallas to Houston. The total value of the project is expected to be about $20 billion, $15 billion of which for the civil works we are contract to us. Our contract included design and construction of the viaduct, embankment sections, track system, and maintenance buildings. On slide 6, you will see how projects that support sustainable goals have come to make up a big part in the revenue from contracts with customers and order backlog, more than 85%. Looking at revenues, the United States remain our single biggest market, responsible for more than 20% of the total of the year. We also started generating more revenue from Italy. In June, the client notified the CoCIP Consortium, which is the Genoa-Milano, that the sixth and final lot for the project had been activated. This will add some 528 million euros to the 3.8 billion euros of financing activity already underway. We can attribute to this the so-called Sblocca Cantieri decree issued by the government to unblock projects across the country. You will see from the chart that more than half of the revenue received last year came from low-carbon projects, such as the construction of the metro lines and railways, what we call sustainable mobility. Projects like the M4 metro line in Milano and the high-speed rail line being built between Naples and Bari. At the end of our construction backlog stood at 29.5 billion, a plus 11%, with more and more than projects coming from low-risk countries, as explained earlier. Slide 7 shows the opportunities that we have identified in every continent. Although there are opportunities everywhere, you will see from the light blue columns that we are focusing on regions that have relatively fewer risk. That means Australia, Europe, North America, and taking advantage of right opportunities in the Middle East. If you include Canada and the Nordics, these regions make up more than 90% of our commercial pipeline. Starting with a selected market for the period between 2020 to 2022, we calculated the total value of potential projects at about 580 billion euros. We then estimated that 120 billion euros of that total was our core addressable commercial activity. The potential projects in this part of the market were identified according to criteria that include country, client reliability, knowledge of local suppliers, partners, contractual term, and so forth. When it comes to bidding for projects, we are focusing on those that are in line with the group strategy. We conduct a 360-degree analysis on each project, reviewing, for example, their technical and economic risk before deciding which one to bid on. On the short term, we are waiting for the outcome of tenders valued at more than 7.6 billion euros. Of the total, 800 million euros have already been awarded or selected as best offer. The others are either still being prepared or in the pre-qualification stage. In slide 8, we'll give you a clearer idea of the state of play in Italy. There have been encouraging signs from the government in its desire to unblock projects that have been stalled for years. I am referring to the Sblocca Cantieri decree approved in June. There is also a move on the government part to invest more in the infrastructure to revive the economy. And the success that we have had in building the bridge in Genoa has made the government want to apply the same so-called fast-track model to other projects. The fact that the state fund, Cassa Depositi and Prestiti, has become a shareholder in our company as part of Progetto Italia shows how much importance the government is giving to the role of infrastructure in helping to revive Italy's GDP. In Genoa, our workers are on site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is a construction site that never stops, not even for weekends and holidays. Many activities are being done in parallel on the construction site to get the bridge ready as soon as possible. We are doing all of these things in close collaboration with the mayor of Genoa, who is also the special commissioner overseeing the project. It's a perfect example of how the client and the contractor work together to achieve the best result in the community. In Milan, construction of the M4 metro line is going well. Last year, we joined all parties to sign an agreement to resolve some outstanding issues and ensure the financial and economic stability of the project. New credit lines for 400 million euros were also opened. The M4 is one of the most important projects of sustainable mobility in Europe. It will link the Linate City Airport with the historic center in only 12 minutes' time. The first section of the line between the airport and the Forlanini train station will open for service next year. I will now let our General Manager, Corporate and Finance, Massimo Ferrari, take you through the details of our full-year results.
Thank you, Pietro. Good morning, everybody. Before going through the numbers, let me explain that, as you can see on slide 10, we have the adjusted figures that we put also in the press release yesterday that include the effects from work under management, which are lanes JVs. They are also adjusted for the impact of a Venezuela impairment, both for 2018 and 2019. In addition, for better comparison, the 2018 results have been adjusted to the IFRS 16. So the figures are homogeneous and includes also the effect from the leasing accounting coming from IFRS 16. So let's now go into further detail by starting with the top line and margin performance. Revenues amounted to 5.3 billion, approximately in line with those of 2018. The main contribution to the revenues for the period comes from some major projects, including those of the Lane Group, the works of the high-speed, high-capacity railway between Milano and Genova, the orders active in Ethiopia, works in Saudi Arabia, such as the design and construction of the Riyadh metro line, as well as the construction of the Rugun Dam in Tajikistan. EBITDA was about 4 to 3 million euros, in line with those of 2018. EBITDA in 2018 was impacted by no recurring write-off related, EBITDA of 2019, this year, was impacted by no recurring write-off related to Lane's involvement in the I-4 Ultimate project for 92 million in Florida, which I will explain more in detail later. EBIT was about 184 million euros. In addition to the impact of write-off on I-4, EBIT was also impacted the write-down of some receivables for some 46 million from an Italian partner, Condotte, that you know is under a liquidation procedure. EBITDA and EBIT margins were 7.9% and 3.4%. Net of the non-recurring negative write-offs I mentioned above, EBITDA and EBIT margins would have stand at respectively 9.7% and 6%. This margin improvement is mainly the result of two factors that we discussed with many of you during the roadshow, the equity roadshow. Better operating performance related in particular to the recovery and full consolidation of COCIV, the Milano-Genoa high-speed high-capacity railway, by reducing to minimum the quota of the insolvent Italian partner Condotte. The rationalization of overhead cost, both at Lane and Salini Pregillo, with a lower incidence of revenues of around 0.3%. On slide 11, we can see in detail the improvements at Lane. Since the acquisition in 2015, Lane has had a strong commercial performance. Its backlog has increased by a compound annual growth rate of 17%. And as discussed before by Pietro, one of the most important projects that Lane was awarded was the high-speed railway to be built between Houston and Dallas, with a 50% share in JV with Salini Pregillo. Lane adjusted revenue grew by 23% to stand at 1.2 billion euros. During 2019, the JVs that managed the I-4 project, where Lane has a 30% stake, experienced negative results. The results were due to an increase in costs caused by client mismanagement. The JV signed a settlement agreement with the client for about $125 million, and it's preparing some claim against the client. Since the settlement agreement covers part of the extra cost incurred, Lane registered, for conservative purpose, a loss of 92 million euro. It will not have any further effect in terms of cash and financial in the coming months. When excluding this, EBIT is near to break-even thanks to overhead rationalization for about 48 million euros, as well as a focus on more profitable projects. The 3% EBIT target for the mid-term is confirmed, and probably it will be achieved in advance. At the strategic level, Lane has adopted a new business model with three priorities: efficiency, effectiveness, and accountability. Lane is interested in projects with very high budgets, generally higher than $100 million. It will focus on road and railways in core markets like California and New York metro area. It will also look at opportunities in water and tunneling. As for project in general, Lane is looking at tenders that it can either do alone or in JV with peers and, of course, with Salini Pregillo. On slide 12, you can see the group profit and the loss below the EBIT line. The financial charges stand at 147 million euros, in line with 2018 figures. They include 14 million euro from a one-off tax settlement with Ethiopian authorities. And as you know, the repayment of the 2018 bond that expired in August generated a full year saving of more than 10 million euros, partly offset by higher bank interest cost of 8 million euros. There was a positive impact from exchange rates for some single-digit million euro compared to 13 million euros for the prior year. The impact is mainly related to the performance of the Ethiopian currency against the dollar and euro. Earnings before taxes amounted to 92 million euros compared to 129 million euros. Income taxes reflect extraordinary taxes charge from the Ethiopian settlement for 19 million euros. Turning to slide 13 on cash flow, you can see how operating free cash flow before dividends and extraordinary items improved in comparison with 2018 by 311 million euros, reaching some 21 million euros. This was thanks to better operating results by 108 million euros, significantly less cash absorption from net working capital. In 2019, we faced a non-recurring cash out for about 235 million euros, which included a second and the last tranche of the Panama repayment for 135 million, the Ethiopian tax settlement, taxes on disposal of plants and paving for 57 million, and Project Italia with a one-off cost for around 10 million. In 2019, we experienced a shift of payment mainly related to Italian operations, coming from litigation and some payments on the high-speed train for some 237 million euros. In case of no delay, the operating free cash flow before dividend and extraordinary items would stand at 258 million. Without forgetting revenue growth, our focus for the coming year will be on cash generation, and I believe the result coming from operating free cash flow is a good step in that direction. Turning to slide 14, you can see the evolution of gross and net debt. For comparative reasons, as I mentioned before, they are homogeneous in terms of IFRS 16. Excluding 85 million euros coming from our subsidiary Beyond for interim financing of Astaldi, gross debt amounted to 2.19 billion euros, with an improvement of about 235 million euros compared to 2.4 billion at the end of 2018. The net financial position was 0.6 billion euros, with an improvement of around 307 million euros. As you can see in the graph on the lower part of the slide, the net financial position, excluding the extraordinary cash outs and including the potential in the potential cash in which were delayed, would stand at 152 million euro. Lastly, on slide 15, you see the maturities of our corporate debt exposed as pro forma, reflecting a new bond, the new bond issued in January 2020. The total amount of new bond issues issue was 250 million euros, of which 127 were exchanged with 2021 notes. In executing the Project Italia agreement, a 268 million euro credit line has been extended, and a new revolving credit facility for 200 million euros has been obtained, reaching a total amount of RCF's line of 550 million euros that give to the group a significant elasticity in terms of cash management and financial position managing. Thanks to these operations, we were able to extend our corporate debt duration and secure more than 70% of these at fixed rate. Pro forma average cost of debt stands at an outstanding 2.6%. I will now leave to Pietro the floor to conclude with some final remarks.
Thank you, Massimo. I will summarize the key messages that we want to give you today. Slide 17, Salini and Fragile receive a record amount of new orders in terms of value in 2019, and it is applied a disciplined approach to identify business opportunities in markets with low risk profiles. The risks that we have faced in the past, such as those related to the second Panama Canal, are behind us. We have kept a solid financial profile. In the next couple of years, the opportunities are many in such a huge global market. In Italy, things are turning to the better as the government is making infrastructure a priority. Progetto Italia promises to be a game changer. With the support of our shareholders, we will create a group with the scale, resources, and expertise to compete more efficiently and effectively anywhere in the world. A study is a major component of this strategy, and we are optimistic about the successful completion of our acquisition in the company this year. Slide 18 describes the main guidelines of our business plan, which will be presented during 2020. Progetto Italia will lead to the birth of eBuild, which will bring Salini and Pregillo, Astaldi, and other smaller players into one big group. eBuild will have scale, will be more efficient, manage a less volatile portfolio, and have a more flexible and solid financial position. The expertise and resources that the group will have will make it more competitive in bidding for projects anywhere in the world. We'll keep expanding in markets that have potential for the group, such as Australia, Europe, and Middle East, and North America. Our focus will be on projects that support sustainable development, hydroelectric dams, metro lines, and railways, to name a few. These are complex public works that offer higher return on sale. We're also working on a complementary business that can stabilize cash flows. Of course, any contract we bid for will go through our strict selection process and risk management. We are continuing our efficiency drive by centralizing many functions, such as the finance and procurement. That will make our cost structure leaner and more effective. Looking at 2020 on the same perimeter as of today, we expect to continue our path of growth in terms of order acquisition, reaching a book-to-bill of approximately 1.1 times. Revenue is projected to grow at a high single-digit rate, and EBITDA margin expected into the range to 7 to 7.5%. We are confident to reach a margin closer to 7.5%. This forecast reflects the group's current business perimeter. Further update will be provided during the presentation of the business plan. The forecast also do not include the impact that the COVID-19 virus may have on business dynamics. The group, in compliance with the government measures and giving maximum protection to the health of the stakeholder and our employees, has undertaken to guarantee, where possible, the operational continuity of construction sites in Italy and abroad. Thank you all for your attention. We can now have some question and answer.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Emanuele Galazzi, excuse me, of Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I have three questions. Well, the first one is on the EBITDA margin. You reported for Salini Pregile margin of 10.4%, and during the call you mentioned positive effect from Condotte. I was wondering if you can clarify it. And the second one is on the guidance. You basically gave a guidance of high single-digit growth at top-line level. I just would like to understand your assumption behind this guidance. And the last one is on Lane. EBIT was still negative in 2019, so can you share with us your expectation for 2020 if you see the break-even?
Sorry, Emanuele, can you repeat the last question? We didn't get the
point. Yeah, basically on Lane and on EBIT, which was still negative in 2019. I was wondering if you expect a break-even at least in 2020.
Okay. Thank you, Emanuele. We can start with the EBITDA margin. We mentioned two different effects, positive effect coming from the COCIV consortium. First of all, the restart of the full operational activity from the project, And then we get also the percentage in terms of marginality, EBITDA margin, coming from the partner that is under a procedure, as you know, Condotte. This is according the law and according the contract. They were not able to comply with the contract in 18 and 19, so we get also the 30% of the stake coming from Condotte. For conservative purpose, we also put a fund, a risk for the credit that we have towards Condotte. So the net effect is a positive effect in terms of EBITDA. Then skip the second question and going to the last one, Lane, we expect 2020 it will be at break-even and hopefully on a positive territory. And regarding the guidance, we gave just some figures, some target, because we are preparing and we are very close to disclose the business plan, but of course we have to take in consideration the COVID-19 extraordinary situation for not only for Italy but for the world. At the moment, as Pietro mentioned before, we have all the job sites that are working, mainly the Genova one, but also the M4, the metro line in Milan, but we cannot rule out some short-term effect in terms of slowdown for production.
Okay, if I can just a very quick follow-up. On the net financial position, you mentioned this delay in cashing from the Italian operation for €236 million. I just want to understand, when do you expect to cash in these receivable or claims?
In 2020, some cash-in already happened, and some other are expected in the coming weeks or months.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Jamie McFarlane of Bybrook Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, my question. I've got a couple of questions. The first one is, how has the cash flow been year to date to start 2019? And what are the cash impacts that you're expecting in H1 from the COVID situation?
Well, thank you for the question. For the moment, we do not expect any slowdown in cashing in from the COVID situation. It depends, of course, how long it will stay and what measures the government and the different government will take on the job site. This will have some effect. Of course, if these things continue for a number of months, we will have some slowdown. We are anti-cyclic because, as you may understand, construction site and contracts do not have the effect on short term by this situation, unless they forbid us to work, which is a different thing. But this is not a situation now. So we do not expect, from that point of view, any particular impact. Of course, the fact of not being able for this time to be physically present in meetings, cannot go freely from one part to the others, cannot move. The supply chain will resist for a certain number of weeks, but if all job site or if all industry we'll have a problem, that this will be the general problem. It's not related to us in a way. So I don't see a particular thing happening to us and not to the others. This is what.
Right. And just what is your guidance for the H1 cash flow excluding the purchase of Astaldi?
No, this year will be given together with the budget and business plan that we are submitting to the board in the next coming weeks.
And Jamie, we expect to have the creditors vote at the end of March, as you know, but the capital increase from Salini Pregillo into Astaldi, it will happen across the summer, probably on September. So we will not have a cash out for the capital increase in the first half related to Astaldi.
Right. And then just what's your cash at the holdco in Italy? I know you provide the in the accounts, you provide the consolidated cash and other financial assets, but it's normally a number. What was it as of the 31st of December in Italy?
As you know, when we publish the full year results, we have the breakdown in terms of debt and liquidity location. I can confirm you that the more than 1 billion of cash that we had at the end of 2019 are well spread across the different countries and continents.
Yes.
Very close to the operation, we have a lot of cash in the U.S., quite the same amount in the Middle East and Australia. So we have on average 180 to 200 million in the main four, five countries out of Italy. We have a small amount of cash in Italy, also because we manage the cash pooling, not using the Italian accounts.
Right. And so given you the amount of the capital increase you burnt in H2 last year and the fact that H1's normally a cash burning at half, it looks like you're probably not going to be able to pay for the Astaldi capital increase, or you're going to have to draw down significantly on the RCF. I mean, I'm just very surprised because the guidance you gave in June and then on the equity roadshow was that H2 was going to be a cash generative half, and you've actually burnt half the capital increase already. So I mean, it sounds like it's probably you may not actually even have the capital to acquire Astaldi at this point.
No, we still have the full amount that we get from the capital increase. From a net financial position perspective, as we mentioned before, we had some shift of payment that, of course, were not expected until the end of the year. The last days in December are always very tough for us because we are getting money from clients, and each receivable is huge. So some year we can succeed, some other we can have some shift. We still have the cash coming from the capital increase. We reduced a lot short-term lines and hot money. As we mentioned before, we increased significantly the long-term part of our corporate debt that you have to remind that includes also the leasing. So we have 100 million more of debt that come from IFRS 16. So in a long-term path, we are improving our gross debt figures.
Right, but I think isn't the point that you're still not collecting? You said H2 was going to be generative, and I think the best comparison here is, one of your peers, CMC, only a year ago said the receivables were just going to collect them in a month's time and 2 months' time, and then within 3 months it was in concordato, and the bonds are trading at 5 cents. So it feels like it feels like this capital increase has already disappeared. And given COVID, are you raising any additional emergency capital? Because given where the stock is, given cash flow issues, it feels like there's going to be another bankruptcy in the Italian construction space.
No, but I think there is some misunderstanding. When you say the shift in terms of cashing in of some items from Italy at 235 million, we do not say that this amount have disappeared. We said that for instance, we have the judgment made and there was a transaction that has to be approved by the very lengthy procedure from the authority, anti-corruption authority here, which has taken more than expected. But this is an executive order by the judge, so we can seize the money if we do not want to make the transaction for these things. And the same things happen to the high velocity train. There is a closing of recognition by the client of some past items that has to be cashed, and they are going through this procedure. We expect this amount that were expected before the end of the year to be cashed in into the next coming weeks. So this is what is it. So this thing that you put forward, the fact that the amount has been burned, I don't think is the right.
Well, I think people should just have a look at your cash burn over the last 4 years. You've burned over 2 billion euros of cash. I mean, there is no denying it. You can look at the facts. And every half you promise that you're going to collect in the next half. You said clearly we can go back to the H1 call, that H2 was going to be cash generative, and it wasn't. You've burned half of the capital increase already. So I don't know.
You have a bias. And you have your ideas. I cannot change them. And probably you're not one of our investors. But in another way, what I say, we had a number of problems coming from the past, from the acquisition. As you have seen, all the write-off related to matters that came with the amalgamation of Salini to Impregilo and coming from the past, there has been no write-off from the current operation, from contracts that have been awarded during this management and this 5 years. Everything that has been written off is related to the past. So what you're mentioning is that the fact that if we have to pay for something that happened in the past, yes, probably we had to manage for that. We did, but at the same time, we did manage to make all what is needed to recover this amount into the future. It will take time. As I said, for Panama, for instance, it's not an easy job. It's a very lengthy and complex litigation. We had to pay up front $600 million only for Panama. So maybe you're referring to those things. The fact that some clients delay a couple of months a payment of $300 million, I can say it is not the best thing that can happen, but it happens. So maybe this explains your view. I don't know
it's pretty bad if you've got 300 million of delays here and there, and you've just raised 600 million of capital based on the fact that H2 is going to be cash generative.
I think you should give guidance
for H1 2020, because given you're supposed to collect all of this cash that was delayed, should we assume H1 2020?
I think you haven't looked into the papers that we have just disclosed, and probably if you look at it in a better detail, you will have a different idea.
Well, can you please give guidance for H1 2020 cash?
We never gave the guidance for 6 months in terms of cash generation. We always said that this company has to generate cash in a long-term period, meaning some year. This is what we told during the equity roadshow for the capital increase. No one told that in 3 months, 6 months, we can generate cash at equity or operational level. So we are working on different levers. Some of them successfully helped the results in 2019. Some other are on work for 2020. Happily, we have a very sound geographic diversification, so we have not to rely on single project or single country. We can face also this very difficult situation for the COVID-19. We have a lot of cash. We still have 500 million euro of backup line. We have a lot of guarantees and surety support. So we can face also this difficult time with a very strong financial position. I think we can move to the next question.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thanks. Good morning to everybody. I have, let's say, four, maybe five questions, but they are really short. The first one is on the claim you mentioned on Lane side. Can you tell us, let's say, what was, let's say, the underlying issue, okay, behind this agreement you made on the Florida project, if it was, let's say, I don't know, any wrong, any mistake you made on, let's say, the planning of the project. So just understand the reason. Mm-hmm. The second question is on the timeline of, let's say, Astaldi deal and therefore the homologation. If you're considering clearly the uncertain situation, you stick with, let's say, an homologation around summer, before summer, just to have an idea. The third question is on Texas. So clearly, you are confident to book, okay, as soon as possible the project. Just to have an idea, what are the next, okay, steps, official steps, in order to include the project into your backlog? The fourth question was on the cash generation for 2020, in the sense that considering the shift you mentioned during the presentation on the cash-in of some Italian projects, are you confident, let's say, that at least in 2020 you get a debt reduction of a similar extent, therefore equal to at least 200 euro million, so the delay in payments you saw in Italy? Thanks.
Let's start with Lane and what we did for Lane. So this contract I-4 is a contract in which Skanska is the managing company.
Mm-hmm.
They accounted for losses, and they decided that these losses could be outplaced by request to the client. They negotiate a transaction with the client, and they are going to sign it. What we think that this deal is not sufficient, and we are requiring them to cover the losses they have caused to the joint venture. At the same time, we have accounted for the same losses that were foreseen from this budget. So we think, from one side, we have made a provision for I-4 in terms of the total loss which is foreseen by the managing company. Okay. And at the same time, we are making a litigation against the company for their conduct into this work. Out of that Lane in 2020, it is foreseen to have a positive EBIT of around 2%. So the turnaround of Lane has been completed. And the fact, and I take this opportunity to say that Texas is now going even faster than what foreseen. I just received a message from Texas Central in which the process of obtaining the final authorization and license has been completed, and they are fully confident that the financial closure can take place into the third quarter of 2020. This gives to Lane and Salini a totally different pitch. Lane will become one of the largest corporation in terms of construction infrastructure in the U.S. It will receive around $2 billion of turnover per year from this project for the next 7 years. And Salini as well will have a very large exposure to the U.S. market into the future. Going back to our study, we are very confident that into 26th of March, the creditor will express their positive agreement to the transaction, and that the procedure into the tribunal will go as fast as possible, of course, respecting the laws. But everybody is aware that this amalgamation is needed for Astaldi, for the people and for the employees and for everybody and for Italy. So I think that there is a very good atmosphere in terms of bureaucratic attitude towards the conclusion of this transaction. So the two put together will make a company that in 2022 will make more than $11 billion of turnover, and with a different financial structure, with a totally renewed portfolio. I think it's very important. We'll give this line into the next coming weeks as soon as it's possible. To make a clear view on what the effect of this pandemic will have on the market and on the future of this company, but those things remains in the fact that the need for the infrastructure in Texas will remain, the process we have studied will remain. So let's say we will have some adjustment probably, but the main streamline of the business plan will remain. For instance, one other or the pilaster of the business plan is entering into a totally new business, which is maintenance. As you have seen, Italy is badly needing, but it's not Italy, it's everywhere in the world. There is a need for a large player in the maintenance of the infrastructure, which are not looked at in a global way. So I think that there is a room for a large player, and also this will make easier for states, for concessionary, for the network to be maintained, having a large partner like us, and having the possibility as such to coordinate the smaller and smaller partner and local partner to give a product of quality, and at the same time a single contract towards the same concessionary. I imagine, for instance, the need of Autostrade, the need of ANAS for the entire network of the maintenance, to have a single player that proposes to them a contract of maintenance, and this player can distribute to the local players, to the local community, part of the work, maintaining quality, maintaining the monitoring, and all these aspects for those concessionary which probably need a player like that. So this model can be applied elsewhere in the world. We were mentioning before, but we didn't have the time to look at the need of maintenance that the infrastructure in U.S. have, or in France, or in Germany, or in Spain. We are all with the same problem. We came to the end of the life of infrastructure which has been built into the past, and no one has thought about a global solution to those problems that arise. Now we face the collapse of part of this infrastructure because of that non-forethinking about that, and there is also an opportunity for us to enter into this business. This will have a very big effect into the stabilization of the cash flow, and will give a steady turnover coming out of that, it can make less volatile our activity. So I think this is a very important in the portfolio of our opportunity.
Alessandro, what we are going to disclose with the new business plan is a different business model, where we have, of course, the core business on the EPC segment, as you know, including Progetto Italia. But we want to add two different streams, the maintenance and monitoring and repairing stream, starting from Italy. And then we just sent some letters to 10 major infrastructure funds in order to develop with them a partnership in order to bid to the huge amount of works that include the equity side of the investment, having a global partner that work with us. So we are working also on stabilizing the cash flow in a short-term period using this new different business model and leveraging also on the Progetto Italia shareholder base and on our more strong financial position.
Okay, and
Texas, probably Pietro has some news.
About Texas, we just received, as I told you, the news from the client that the final authorization are there. So this is we'll have a very large change into the activity of Lane for the importance of this single contract, which has a very good marginality. We already managed that with our client. They are happy with that, and it's an important job. So I think that this, if as it foreseen, will be closing during the first quarter, we will have even some beneficial effect on the 2020 full year of this quarter. But for the moment, the turnover is expected to have some effect, important effect into 2021 accounts into the business plan. So we'll discuss that later when we'll present our business plan in details.
Okay, and Massimo, the question was on the cash-in shift. Okay, if let's say at least considering a certainty, we can assume that this can be seen as a reduction, okay, in terms of let's say gross, but even net debt for 2020, at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and the last question, it was on the guidance related to the top line that you see in the high single digit area. Focusing on Italy, do you believe, considering, let's say, all the effort the government is putting in order to speed up the execution of the project, do you believe that Italy can outperform this high single-digit top-line growth in this year, hopefully?
But we hope that, because, of course, we have still a large part of our portfolio that coming from the past that is slow-performing. And with those acts from the government, we expect to have a development of revenues from this from that portfolio that will be better than expected. What we see now, and I just discussed it with members of the government, that the attention on infrastructure is a priority for them. They want to find out ways. I just received from the Minister of Transport the news that she's going to nominate a numbers of commissioner to have the power to streamline all activities and to make a shortcut on bureaucracy. This type of attitude will of course change will be transformational for Italy for the development of let's say turnover for us in Italy. and will have a large impact. The fact that we have no other competitors as well, it's something that that is important, because we are now the player for Italy for those large projects. And let's say of that, I think that we have to make a responsible answer to the government in terms of employment, in terms of development, as we are demonstrating on a general bridge, in which, notwithstanding whatever, we are delivering, and the bridge is there now after less than 1 year. We started the first concrete pouring in June last year, and we are going to close it before. So let's say in less than one construction year, the bridge is there. I don't think that this is something to add on that. Everybody is now talking about the model of Genoa in Italy in how to do things. Of course, this needs a very good administration and having the power to decide, but also a very good company to execute it. It's not only a matter of powers. So if you have a lot of people which is probably having the power to decide everything, and you don't have a very good company, you cannot do that. So this is it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered, so I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Cellini for any closing remarks.
There is another question?
No, sir, there are no questions registered at this time.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much. If you have any other question, you can ask to our investor relations team.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.